Blog Talk Radio. You're right. And Charles, this is the thing that really bugs me about the story. The doctor's team identified specifically.
And a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked are sin. So when I was reading this verse and I was trying to understand what was Solomon trying to say, a haughty look, and the way I understood it was, a haughty look is like a thought. Think about the process when sin comes in. It started with a thought. You saw something either on TV or you heard it, an incident to your ear gate, your eye gate. Maybe you heard it in a song and then a thought popped up, your imagination. Something popped up that wasn't right. A proud heart, now you started to think about that thing. And in your mind, you just figured out, oh, I can do it this way. So I know I'm not by myself. I can do this way. I can figure out how to do this. And if this happens, I know how to move around. Because you're proud. Now you're figuring out how to cross your T's and dot your I's so that you'll be able to get what you want in that thought. And then it says the plowing of the wicked is sin. That means that when you get ready to do this thing, the Bible says in James 1:5 and in the NSV, then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it has run its course, brings forth death. So think about when you are plowing, when a farmer is plowing and they are trying to plow a straight line. They are determined to make the straight line. They are going to do this. They have their mindset. They are plowing. They have figured it out. This thing came in as a thought. And you didn't just say it. It just turned into an action. Now you're ready to do it. You are in your car ready to go. Gas, take, pull, car, and drive. I'm taking off on the do what I have set myself out to do. You are dead stuck on doing that. And then when you finish, it brings forth death. I don't care if it was a temporary feeling. I don't care what you was going after. If it was not of the Lord, it's going to lead to sin. It is a distraction, and it started with your decision. It started with a thought. It started with imagination. The Bible says that we can bring those things down and put them under the protection of Jesus Christ. So I don't have to entertain it. But it's our decision. It ain't the devil. It's the decision. The decision you say, I'm going to think about this thing. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to let it gestate. I'm going to get proud about it. I have figured out how to complete this thing. And now I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. So it's like the branch is like a seed, then the tree, then the branch, then the fruit. It's going to produce. It's going to produce. But that's what happens when we think we can get away with something, and sin equals death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's the book. That's the book. So then in verse 5, it says, the plan of the diligent certainly leads to advantage, but everyone who is in a hurry certainly comes to poverty. So the plans, the thoughts, the intentions, the strategies of the diligent certainly lead to advantage. What do you mean by diligent? Why didn't he just say the plan? Or the righteous plan? Diligent means that we have to be determined. There will come some obstacles, but if you remember your end goal, you going to make it. If you remember your end goal, I remember one time I was in service, and one of the ladies got up and she was giving a testimony of how she overcame some things that she had been used to fall for. And she said, it costs too much. It costs too much. The joy I got now, the peace I have now, it costs too much. So I don't want no 20-minute fling. I don't want to jeopardize this joy and this anointing that has been placed on my life because it costs too much. It costs too much to get back here. So I'm determined I don't go for you, but let me just level set your expectations, sweetheart. The reason why we have to go through tests and trials is to work out things that shouldn't be in us. The Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. People think that good means pretty, shiny, smooth sailing. No, that good means the purpose that God called you for. Your assignment that God gave you was good. And everything that you're going through is working for the perfection of that assignment. So you have to go through tests and trials. That's the only way he's going to get that anger out. That's the only way he's going to get that whoredom out. That's the only way he's going to get that gluttony out. You got to go through some things. It's the only way he's going to reveal that you got jealousy deep down in your soul. And every time you say you pray to God for your sister's blessing, but you really not. You really envious and covetous. But when you go through some things, you'll realize and understand that what God has for me, it is for me. And I'm content with that. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So we have to be diligent, and the more we are diligent, it will lead to an advantage. What is that advantage? That means that what you desire to have, you will accomplish that. But everybody that want to get to it in a hurry, you're going to come to poverty because you're going to forget some steps. I did that one time. I was trying to skip through a project that we were working on at work, and I was like, okay, this would be a quick way to get through here, and I don't have to do all that, and then I'll be done, and they'll be waiting on me. But because I took the shortcut, some of the data that was needed, I didn't see it. And then the project was delayed because I had to go back and redo. No, work it out the way God has ordered your steps. The Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in every detail. Those details will reveal that earthen treasure that's inside of you that is used to give him glory. But if you try to circumvent the system, if you try to skip over A, B, and you already at M, you never hit H, I, J. There's some things that you needed that you don't need at M, but you skipped over it. So we have to be diligent. We have to be diligent. We can't be hasty. We got to learn to take our time. I'm a group 6, 7, and 8 together. The acquisition of treasures by a lion's tongue is a fleeting vapor, and the pursuit of death. The violence of the wicked will sweep them away because they refuse to act with justice. The way of the guilty person is crooked, but as for the pure, his conduct is upright. So let's just start right there. This is pretty self-explanatory. The acquisition of treasures of a lion's tongue is a fleeting vapor. You getting stuff on deceptive measures will not last. A vapor is like the steam off of when you make a spaghetti or your water got to boil because you throw your noodles in there. That steam, it comes up, you can see it, but soon it disappears. If you're going to try to acquire treasures off of a lion's tongue, yeah, you may get something, but it won't last. It won't last. And not only that, is you're going to have a hunger and thirst for more because you thought it was easy to acquire it at that time. Then you're going to get greedy and keep on going. You're going to end up right in death and wicked and in poverty. And it says the pursuit of death. You're going to end up and it's not going to come out the way you want it to. I tell my girls that and my son that. I just dropped my daughter off at college. I'm like, look, don't fall for that tricks and them quick get-rich schemes because you're going to end up in trouble. Either they're going to be to stole your identity or stole your little money that you do have because you're trying to get a get-rich-quick scheme. Don't do that. And if you do, you're going to end up with some heartache. You're going to end up with some pain. So nothing that you grab them for quick, it's worth it. My granny used to tell me, everything that glitters ain't gold, baby. The violence of the wicked will sweep them away. But because they refuse to act with justice, they refuse to conform, they refuse to do what is right. Who said it best? I think I wrote that scripture down. David said that when he considered, or was it Asher? I don't know which one it was. He was looking at the ways of the wicked. And he got frustrated. And then he said, when I enter into the house of the Lord, saw their end. I almost considered going and doing what they were doing, but then I saw their end. There is an end, and it's not pleasant. It's not going to be the way they thought it was going to be. I promise you, you have to be determined to stay within the path that God has placed for you. The way of the guilty is crooked, but as for the pure, his conduct is upright. The way of the guilty, and that speaks for itself. The way of a guilty person is crooked. They always shifty. They, as my daughter would say, you shady, you sus. That's what she say. You sus. What does sus mean? You suspect. You moving kind of like, I need to watch you extra close because I don't know what your intentions are. I don't know what your motives are. And it doesn't seem like it's really to be an honest interaction. It looked like you're trying to get over on me. You're a suspect. So those, but the ones that are pure, I have good conduct and they are upright. You'll get more. I have seen that happen in my own personal life where people may have been doing the wrong thing with the wrong motives. I'll be at work and maybe somebody is talking about another individual, a coworker. I don't want to indulge in that. It's not going to benefit us. What has that going to help Blue Cross Blue Shield Association? Not one bit. So I don't want to entertain with that. And now I have a level of integrity that people just won't come to me with mess like that because it's not beneficial. I don't want to talk about my brother and sister. I don't know what's going on in their life. If anything, I'm going to take what you said and I'm going to go pray for them.
Mm.
That God can turn the situation around. But I'm not going to sit there and entertain it and indulge in it. No, I'm not a gossiper. I'm not going to do that. I'm listening and discerning. I need to understand the move of God, the season of God, the time of God. And when I am operating in a pure conduct and upright, you can get access to those things. Mm. Amen?
Amen.
Any questions or comments? Keep on going. Just want to call because I keep going. All right, number 9. Better to dwell, I love this one. Better to dwell in the corner of a house top than to share a house with a contentious woman. I said, wow, they had those Dr. Nell days. You mean to tell me Solomon said it's better to be on the corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman? What do you mean? Now, you have to think about the setting and when this was written. Middle Eastern, it get really hot out there. And on the roof, they didn't have some umbrellas. Like if we go to the beach and we can put an umbrella and sit in the reclining chair and get our book and drink our tea, then it wasn't like that. He was on the roof and have to indulge in whatever season it was. So if it was raining, he up there on the roof, there's no shelter. He getting the rain. If the sun is out and it's noon, he's baking in the sun. He'd rather be tormented by the elements than to be in the house with a contentious woman. That says something to a woman. A woman makes a home. A woman can set the tone in the home. I remember my daddy used to say, I'm telling you now, I don't want to have to throw my head in to see what type of mood your mama is in. What? Throw your head in? What does that mean? To see what type of mood she in. It shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be like that. If you are a husband and a wife, and I know that God is going to give me the desires of my heart to be married again, but I never want my husband to have to say, you okay? You need anything? Before I talk, I don't want it to be like that. I want the house to be peaceful. I want to make it a welcome and loving environment. It should not be that a woman is so evil and cantankerous and non-cooperative and angry and argumentative that this man would rather endure the outside element than come home where he should find peace and tranquility. That right there speaks enough. And if King Solomon is warning his son, don't deal with this type of female, it must have been serious back then in those days. And verse number, I have a note here, Proverbs 18:22. Whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and I obtain favor from the Lord. So that's the opposite of it. You find a wife, I want to want it to be a good thing and obtain favor from the Lord and not be so angry and evil that he want to run away from home. I want him to want to come home. I want him to be like, I ain't stopping nowhere. I'm coming home. I got a good thing at home. Amen. So Proverbs 21 and 10, the soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no favor in his eyes. The soul of a wicked, that means the core of them, desires evil. In their heart, their motive is always, maybe it's selfish, maybe it's how they can come up, and they don't care who has to pay the cost for it. The neighbor finds no favor in his eyes. Back then, it was a communicable environment. If I didn't have enough flour, I can go next door and get some, and we raise our children together. We sometimes they even all ate together. But a wicked person, a neighbor can find no favor in their eyes. I don't want to go to their house. I don't want to be involved with them, and I don't want them in mine. So it breaks up the unity. They were all together. It was a tribe. We was like, quote, unquote, a clique, as we would say. So this type of individual, you can't be bothered with them. You can't be bothered with them. You don't want to even trust in them. You don't want to have nothing to do with them. Proverbs 2 and 14 and 15 says, who delights in doing evil and rejoices in prosperity of evil? Whose path is crooked? And who are the devious in their ways? That's what this wicked neighbor is. We don't want to engage with people like that. And the neighbor doesn't want to be bothered with them. So we should be careful of those who we can't get along with. When we find people that we just can't get along with, you might want to be careful about that. Like they never have anything good to say. They always got something negative, or they always doing something. You just can't get along with them. Then maybe you need to stay away from them. 11 and 12, high mountain time. Am I good? I know I'm not going to get on with thirst.
You got about 15 minutes.
Uh-oh, let me try to hurry up and get to 11 and 12, when the scoffer is punished, the simple is made wise. But when the wise is instructed, he receives knowledge. The righteousness of God wisely considers his house of wicked, overthrowing the wicked of their wickedness. One thing I wanted to turn out in here is you talked about those scoffers. And when a scoffer is punished, what is a scoffer? I didn't know what that was. A scoffer is a hardened person that rejects wisdom. I don't care what it is, they just reject wisdom. And those people, when they are punished, the simple is made wise. Now, the simple person can look at that person's mistake and be able to recover. I'm not going to do that. I'm a member of Toastmasters, and part of Toastmasters, when a person gives a speech in a meeting, we have an evaluation immediately after that. And as that evaluator is speaking about how that person spoke, others can take note of those and then apply that to them when they get ready to do their speech. So that's what this means by the simple is made wise. When you see a scoffer being punished, you should be able to learn from their mistakes. When we see people that, these big known preachers that are coming down because they didn't commit adultery or they didn't did some spicy things, and they are now being taken down, we should learn from their mistakes and not try to figure out, oh, I would speak this way. It was caught me. No, you should be learning from their mistakes so you can be wise and not be foolish in your endeavor. Anything else I'm going to pull out in this scripture? Help me, Holy Ghost. But when the wise is instructed, he receives knowledge. When the wise it's instructive. What makes you wise? Because I'm open to learn. My grandmother taught me at an early age. My mother died when I was 13. My grandmother taught me that you want to learn something new every day. I don't care how small it is. You want to learn something new every day. Challenge yourself. Because when the wise are instructed, they receive knowledge. And what is that knowledge? It's going to help me so that I can make wise decisions. I can walk in wisdom. I can walk sanctified with God because I have spent time mouth of the wicked, overthrowing the wicked of their wickedness. That means I'm not going to engage with you. I'm going to move around. You're going to see the way I engage and interact, and hopefully that's going to change you and offend you. The Bible talks about an offense. Offense means to step out of something. It doesn't mean that I hurt your feelings, but it is to trigger you to step out of that wrongdoing so you won't do it again, that you won't be offended and no longer do that again. So I'm hoping that when we act as wise, as instructed individuals, that we will offend the wicked. They will see us and see our good works and glorify the Father, which is in heaven. Amen. Verse number 13, whosoever sets his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. That's just self-explanatory. That's a self-explanatory. If you have it to give and you ignore, if God gives you the option to give and you ignore it and you don't do it, it's going to come a time when you're going to cry out for God and he where are you? Depart from me. I know you're not. You worker of iniquity. Depart from me. I know you're not. You don't have my heart. You don't have my mind. You're not being transformed. You still out for all you can get. You want to hold up things and hoard things for yourself. So here, if you don't do the way you're supposed to do, you shut your eyes to the cries of the poor. We're supposed to take care of the poor. Jesus said, what you do unto them, you do it unto me. So we are supposed to take care of the poor. Verse 14 says, a gift in secret pacifies anger, and a bribe behind the back strong breath. And I didn't quite understand this verse, and I was trying to understand it. And as I kept chewing on it, Holy Spirit said, think about Jacob and Esau. Jacob bribed Esau for his birthright because Esau was home. He bribed him. And then anger spewed up because then Jacob thought Esau was going to kill him when he was on his way back. And Abigail did the same thing with David. Abigail's cousin did not want to help David. Was just stupid. He was drunk. He said the wrong things. And David and his men, I called them the Robin Hood. David and his men was on their way to kill Abigail and everybody. The king, the governor, and all his cat, everything. They was on their way to take it. All he wanted them to do was give us some food. Give us something. We out here protecting y'all. We serving as Robin Hood. But don't nobody come and do nothing to you. And give us some resources. Give us some food. And the king, the guy was like, no, I'm paraphrasing. You can read it for yourself. He was like, no. If Abigail went and met David and brought him some things and said, no, my husband was a little drunk, a little stupid, and he didn't mean what he said. So don't come and destroy us. And in the end, he ended up dying anyway, and she became his wife. Read that story yourself. But that's what God was showing me when he was talking about a gift in secret pacifies anger. When Abigail went to meet David and said what she said, he told him, now you will be king, but you don't want this blood on your hands. You don't want to be a king like that. That's going to dishonor God. You don't want to do that. She pacified him. She met him in secret. She brought him the thing. She pacified him, and his anger was tainted. And he did not come in there and tear up and destroy everything that they had. A bribe behind the back, strong wrath. Because of that, he was able to turn that wrath around. Because everybody was about to die. Everybody was about to die. Verse number 15, it is the joy of the just to do justice, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. It's just nice to be nice. It's just right to be able to do the right thing and to do the things that God has called to do. And do it with joy. Be a joyful giver. Do it with joy. And know that the workers of iniquity, they will come to destruction. It will not last. It may look like they're prospering. I remember when I was on the prayer line, I kept telling somebody, it's not what it looks like. It's not what it looks like. We will look at people's Instagram posts and all of these things that Facebook posts and TikTok posts, and it looks like they're just giving, doing wonderful, living high on the hog. They just got it going on, and you don't realize they get shut off notices. You don't realize that it's not really like it. She's probably feeling her head when she gets off the video. You don't know what's going on. So it's not what it looks like. Don't consider that and then become covetous and envious of that. No, don't do that. Have joy in the justice you're supposed to do, in the work that you're supposed to do. A man who wanders in his ways, a man who wanders from his ways of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. And since this, there's two paths you're going to take. It's either going to be a path of foolishness and destruction or a path of understanding and prosperity. It's dangerous to begin on the good path. The Bible says wide is one path and narrow is the one that's going to lead you to the way you're supposed to go. You're going to have to choose. And like I said before, those decisions, it's not the demon. It's not, oh, the devil made me do it. I hate when people say, God knows my heart. I wanted to do it, but God knows. It's your decision. And you need some discipline to support the right decision so that you can reap the benefits that God has in store for you. It's your decision. So when you make a way and you choose a way, stick with it. Because those that are wandering on the way, if you go with the wrong one, you can end up in death. I got about 2 minutes left. He who loves pleasure will be poor, and he who loves wine will not be rich. Your heart's going after pleasure. The problem with that is that you'll never be satisfied. It's always more. You're always going to want more. You'll never be satisfied. That's why the joy of the Lord has to be my strength. I have to want to do things according to his plan, his purpose for my life, because that fulfillment, that joy that I get when I do what he has told me to do, it's a tax that, and it lasts. I can go back and think about those things and get excited and thank God and praise him because he used a little old somebody like me, and he didn't have to. But when we go after pleasure, when we go after wine and want to be rich and prestige and all that, it costs you something. It's going to cost you your soul. It might cost you your life. And you might open your eyes up in hell because you missed the mark. You were chasing after the wrong things. Chase after him. When you set your eyes on him, he will provide everything else. You got to be born after him. Jesus said, ladies, pick up the cross and follow me. You got to pick up the cross. If you're picking up the cross, you're putting down your knees and follow me. I don't know how much time I got. Should I end it there?
Go ahead. You'll hear it when it says the amount of time.
Okay. Verse number 18. The wicked shall be ransom for the righteous, and the unfaithful for the upright. The wicked shall be ransom for the righteous. This is a way of saying that the righteous will ultimately succeed and triumph over the wicked. Ransom. That means that they done went in and seized, and now you are my prophet. That is my stuff. Think about when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt, and when they left out of there, they had stuff. They had a lot of stuff when they left, and they crossed over the Red Sea. They had a lot of things. It was ransom. The Pharaoh didn't want to let the people go, but he ended up suffering. And the children of Israel left with all of it. It was ransom for the righteous. That belong was theirs, but it was theirs then because it was there. They acquired it. And it would be the ransom for the righteous and the unfaithful for the upright. Amen. Verse number 19, better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Now here he added another adjective. Not only is she contentious, argumentative, and cantankerous, she angry. She just mad to be mad. She wanted those, good morning, what's good about it? That's the way you're going to start your day off. And here the Solomon is saying, it's better to be in the wilderness. You don't know what you got to face. Lions, tigers, bears, snakes, all kind of elements. The cold at night. You don't know what you're going to face in the wilderness. But it's better to be and dwell. Dwell, that means to stay, to reside. We want the Spirit of God to dwell in us. That means to dwell. I don't ever want to come back with a cantankerous and an angry woman. That ain't good. We shouldn't be like that. We're supposed to be there helping me, not running them away. Verse number 20, there is a desired treasure. There is desirable treasure and oil in dwelling with the wise, but the foolish man squanders it. Hallelujah. It is easy. It is desired treasure. When you are wise, you know how to store up. You know how to spend appropriately. You know how to give appropriately. You know how to budget. You know how to maintain. And here it says that there's desirable treasure. Because those that don't do that, they want to take what you have. They want to take what you
have, and then they're going to get in and squander it. That's like giving a child keys to a car, and they only 10. They're not going to do nothing but kill them, either kill themselves, kill somebody else, tear that car up, squander it. You wouldn't do that. So the desirable of a treasure, that there is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise. All that means is that you know how to save, you know how to preserve. In verse 21, he who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness and honor. He who follows righteousness and mercy, each life is on a path. And here this path is righteousness and mercy. The path of wisdom, God's path for those who listen and surrender to him. You got to find righteousness and mercy and honor. You will be rewarded. The Bible says that we must believe that he is God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Mm-hmm.
You will be rewarded. The path of the righteous is worth it. The path of the wise is worth it. The benefits surpass your understanding. That's why he says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that worketh on the inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit. And as long as you allow him to order your steps, it may be difficult, but it's worth it. It's worth it, because what you're going to get when you come out of that, oh, glory, it's worth it. That's how gold is purified. It's got to go in the crucible. It's got to go in the fire. Hallelujah, to sum up those impurities. Verse number 22. Whew. A wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the trusted stronghold. That means that this person, a wise man, knows how to be strategic and how to move around. He understands that the city may be mighty, but it's coming down. Just like David told Goliath, you uncircumcised Philistine, you didn't come against us. You came and he's going to deliver you into my hand. So here a wise man knows how to be strategic in his doing and how to bring down the strongholds. He can defeat obstacles, those stretched strongholds, because he got power on the inside. I got power to tread over scorpions and scales, and nothing shall by any means harm me. I got victory. I'm more than a conqueror. I am an overcomer. I am the head and not the tail, above and not the beneath, the lender and not the... those things. Verse 23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. We already know that the power of life and death is in the tongue, and you will eat the fruit thereof. We already know that. If you can guard your mouth and tongue, that's both things. Your speech, your thoughts, guard them, guard them, guard them. Whoever guards them, you keep your soul from trouble, because you got to be careful. Those words go out. We have the Spirit of God on the inside of us, and those words go out and they begin to produce. God said that his word will not return unto its void, but it must accomplish everything that he set it out to do. When you speak things, it produces. Now, what I dare you to do is start speaking by faith what God has said, so your God's got promise for you that it may manifest. Come on, somebody. Use your word that your soul will not come to trouble. Speak faith. Speak life. Put the word on it. I don't care what the situation looks like. Put the word on it. Begin to speak what God says and watch it come to pass. Guard your mouth. Guard your tongue. Be careful. Don't just be loose with your words. Don't just be loose with it. Have diarrhea at the mouth. Don't just shoot off like that. Be mindful. Guard it. Guard it. A proud and haughty man, Gopher, is his name. His acts are arrogant and proud. We talked about him already. This is a stubborn, hard-hearted, a proud and haughty person. And his acts are for arrogance and pride. It reminds me of when Jesus was talking about the people that were praying. And the Pharisees was praying, but the one that he said, I can't even lift my head. He was like, your prayers are heard, but theirs aren't. Because they think they're worthy of it. They got this pride for life that is irrelevant. It means nothing. Verse 25. The desires of a lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. The desires of a lazy man, the Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. The desires of a lazy man kills him. He wants it so bad to the point that he just is just killing him on the inside. I remember when my daughter would get in trouble. game. You can't play the game. I want the game. You're off the game. You're on person for a week. Mama, please, please, please. She would have a fit because she wanted that game. She desired that game. Now she's going around cleaning, doing extra stuff. She was working. She was trying to get it back for earning that. But she's going to have to suffer the consequences. For the desires of a lazy man has desires, but he don't have no initiative, no energy, no will, no nothing to get up and do anything, and that kills him. He refuses labor, means that he refuses to go out and earn it. So now he's just frustrated. He that covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare. Those that are coveted-minded and greedy, they want to hold on to what they have. That's reference to that lazy man again. They want to hold on to what they have, and they do it all day long. They're looking for something. They beg, and they greedy. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Gimme, gimme, gimme. The righteous gives and does not spare. But a righteous man gives according to the way the Lord wants him. He's a cheerful giver. I'm a give because God told me to give. And if I don't have it, he's going to make sure that I'm taking care of because I'm doing what he asked me to do. And he wouldn't put me in harm's way. If I have to give, I'm giving. If that's the instruction, I'm giving. And that's what the righteous does. They don't worry about those things because God got all of it. He got all of it in control.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Keep going.
Yeah, you have to 3 more minutes and then we're going to close it.
Okay, 3 more minutes. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more even it brings with it wicked intent. So the sacrifice of the wicked, like we talked about that earlier, where you're trying to give things and thinking that it's going to suffice. God says it's better to obey than to sacrifice. You find that in 1 Samuel 15:22. Religious ceremony will never cover up the life of the wicked. There's nothing you can do to cover up it. You cannot offer a sacrifice to cover up what you have done. You have to acknowledge it. You have to say, yes, I did this, and repent. And go forth, and when you repent, that means you turn away from it. You have a desire on your inside, and in the inside, you never do it again. How much more he brings in it with wicked intent. And then if you know, I'm only doing this because tomorrow I'm going to do something wicked. Come on now. Come on now. I'm not going to quote this right, but it says, should grace abound? And should sin abound because of grace? God forbid. God forbid. Verse 28, a false witness shall perish, but the man who hears him will speak endlessly. God hates liars. He says, you are the children, you are the father of lies. And he hates liars and a false witness. He hates that. You cannot do those things. And the Bible says in Matthew 26:60, but found none. Yea, though they made false witnesses came up, yet none, they found none. And the last came two false witnesses. This talks about false witnesses as well. They will perish. This is not of God. You cannot lie. You cannot be a false witness. And you can't do this thing to think that you're going to be able to get away with. And then verse 29, a wicked man hardens his face, but as for the upright, he establishes his ways. A wicked man hardens his face. What does that mean? The characteristics of a wicked man, his face is hard and unfriendly. And it's not agreeable. It's not an approachable person. But that of an upright, he establishes. An upright is welcoming. It's the direct opposite. And God is like, I'm reminded of the verse where he says, God has begun a good work within you and will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He establishes us for every good work. But we got to have the character to it. Our gifts will make room for us. But we got to have the character to keep us in the room. So you can't have this wicked, hardened face, I'm hard and all of this. You need to be upright. You need to be welcoming. You need to be peaceful. Live peaceful among us. You need to have the joy of the Lord. And there needs to be some fruit. There needs to be some fruit. If you say you're on the Lord's side, there needs to be some fruit. Fruit. We are his epistles, living epistles, and we are read of sin daily. We are his ambassadors. Are we representing him right, or are we just taking this for granted? verse 30, and I think this is the last one. There is no wisdom and understanding or counsel against the Lord. There is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. You can't do nothing. Fighting against God is a losing battle. You can't do anything without him. So you might as well surrender to his mighty hand and allow him to order your steps and direct your life that you can have a prosperous life. He said that I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Yield to it so that you can experience that abundant life.
Amen.
And that is Psalm 130. I'm sorry. The horse is prepared for the day of the battle, but deliverance is of the Lord. So here back in those days when they went to fight, they had horses and chariots. And they prepared them. They get them ready. They get them suited for battle. But the deliverance is of the Lord. Some battles, these battles, if God is not before me and going before me, then I don't, that ain't the battle for me. This battle is of the Lord. And I'm walking, he is walking me out to victory. I'm not even going to go and try to do this thing in and of myself because I will fail. So this is prepared for him. And if I let him order my steps, I'm going to walk right into the deliverance and the victory that he has planned for me.
Amen. That was some good stuff. We do thank you for taking the time. There's no way we were going to cut it short because you was preaching and teaching some good stuff. So we do thank you for taking the opportunity, you know, to study and to prepare yourself to bring forth to the people of God. We do thank you so much, and we just pray blessings upon you. Dr. Suzanne, would you please pray for her, and then we're going to close out. You on mute?
Yes, excuse me. I'm sorry. I was talking, I was on mute. Praise God. Thank you so much, sister. Thank you so much for your teaching this evening. Father God, we pray. We thank you. We thank you, dear Lord, for the word that has gone forth, for the teaching, the awesome teaching, and for the obedience of our sister, Yvette. We thank you, Lord, that you just bless her. Bless her coming and going, her rising, her mind down. Bless her, Father God, that she would be replenished and rejuvenated, Father God, as she is spent right now, Father God, that she's given, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, for the seeds that have been planted this evening, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that they multiply, Father, grow and multiply. We thank you, Father God, that as we've said that this message, Father God, is recorded and goes out, that it's spread like the seeds in the air, the seeds that are in the air. I just see them seeing this message just going forth, and that it will keep going and keep giving and keep giving and keep producing in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for my sister that you bless her in Jesus' sweet and holy name.
Amen. Thank you so much. We're over, but it was definitely worth it. And thank you so much.
I do apologize.
No, that's
as a toastmaster, you're not supposed to do that.
Well, Dr. Suzanne, she does the same thing, so I'm sure she can understand that. She's a Toastmasters as well. But thank you so much.
I'm a Toastmaster, too. Oh, great.
Okay, we're not going to get into a conversation on that right now, but thank you so much once again. And for those of you who are listening, you can go into Blog Talk. And I do have to mention that I had it on mute when I was talking, so my apologies for those of you that go back and listen to it. Just give it a few minutes, and it will go into the audio. We're going to invite you back again because we started off, and I had it on mute, and I didn't realize I was on mute on my end, and people are sending me texts, back and forth saying, we can't hear. And I'm saying, well, why is it you can't hear? You know, because I'm thinking because of Zoom, and then we have all these other tools that opened up. It was really on my end, and I apologize for that. But we're going to invite you back in. We'd love to invite you back again that you can bless us once again. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay. May God bless you. Remember, we love you.